Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. This is episode 57. To those new to our podcast, the Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army Central Territory production. I am your host, Heather Hanton. Here we feature faith-based conversations with women from various diversities who share their experiences to challenge, inspire, uplift, and prepare us in our daily living. On today's podcast, we welcome Robin Smith. Robin is the director for Refuge for Women, which is a national faith-based organization providing a residential healing and recovery program for survivors of trafficking and sexual exploitation. Robin directs the Las Vegas location. She is currently helping to lead the way in the fight against human trafficking. Today, I hope to raise awareness of this global epidemic and discuss ways in which we can get involved and become part of the solution. I also want to bring light to our own program in the Salvation Army, the Stop It program, and how we can partner with Refuge for Women in the war against human trafficking. Here's my conversation with Robin. Welcome to our podcast, Robin.
Thank you, Heather. Excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here today. And we have a lot to talk about, and I can't wait to get into it. Now, before we dive in, can you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So, Robin Smith. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband and I moved here 5 years ago this May, so we're not native Nevadans, which hardly nobody is, so we fit right in. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas is super transient, so people are here for a little bit and gone, so kind of the culture.
Yeah.
But so I'm married. I have two kids. They both live back in the Midwest, in Michigan and in Missouri. We go to the church LV here in Nevada, which is an awesome church, super community-minded. Mm-hmm. We love that. I work for Refuge for Women, which mm-hmm. is a job that I absolutely love. And so I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But yeah, that tells you a little bit about who I am and why I'm here. My husband and I both work in the nonprofit world, and our heart's desire is to show the world Jesus. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. So give us just a little brief description of what is Refuge for Women.
Yes. Refuge for Women is a faith-based nonprofit that offers long-term residential care to women who have been exploited in the sex industry. So the women who come to us may have been trafficked into the sex industry or may have entered by their own choices. We don't really care. We don't discriminate against that. Mm-hmm. If you had your foot in the sex industry and you want help, that's who we exist to help.
Okay.
So our program has a lot of phases to it. Our main program is 9 months long. So the women live with us in a home for 9 months. Six women at a time can live in the home.
Wow.
We are a national organization, so we have homes in 5 states currently.
Okay.
And 2 more will be opening in 2020. So we are in Ohio, Illinois, Nevada, Texas, Kentucky. We're opening in Southern Cal and opening another home in Texas in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So the program, like I said, is 9 months long. It's divided into three-month chunks.
Mm.
The first 3 months focuses on restoration and recovery. The second adds to that. Everything builds on the previous. So what you learn in the first never goes away. It's just added to.
Yeah.
So in the second phase, we start to look at job and life skills. And then in the final phase, we look at employment and education. So in Vegas, we actually have 2 different homes.
Okay.
The first home is that program house, which is 9 months long. And then the second home is transitional living. So once the ladies graduate from our main program, they can move into our transitional house and they can live there for up to 1 year while they're working or going to school. So we actually offer them 21 months of supported care
and safety
in a residential setting.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you said Refuge is faith-based. Is it affiliated with any denomination within the Christian church?
No, we're not. We are a non-denominational faith-based program.
Okay. So just backing up just a little bit.
Sure.
I want to give our listeners just a little insight into how I came to have you as our guest today. I've actually known you and your husband, Homer, for over 20 years now when I worked with you both at the Salvation Army in Peoria. And through that, we not only became coworkers and you guys were my boss, but you also became my mentors and my friends.
Yeah.
So going back in even before then, and this is kind of like a multifaceted question, give us just a little bit of your history and how you came to know the Lord, where your ministry has led you, and how you came to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was raised in a Christian family by a Christian mom, so coming to know the Lord was a natural step for me because that's the way I was raised, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just grew up in the church, grew up knowing and loving Jesus, and just always knew as a kid that my life would be lived out in service to people through the lens of Jesus. Mm. That's just the way that I was wired and the way
beautiful.
That God made me. Mm-hmm. That really kind of was solidified in me when I was a teenager, and Debbie and Randy Shogren were my core officers.
Awesome.
And Debbie became my mentor as a teenager, and she is my mentor to this day.
I love
them and their family. And she was the person who looked at a teenager and didn't see a teenager, but looked at a teenager and saw a person.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke life into me and always challenged me to rise and to be excellent and to do everything that I could do for the Lord, and modeled that for me too. So that just is the way that I've always been raised.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. She raised me.
Yeah.
She raised me as a pup.
Yeah, I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I actually followed in her footsteps and became a Salvation Army officer. And Homer and I were officers for 15 years and served throughout the Central Territory and had a great experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we really felt the Lord moving us on in a different way, really because of some challenges that we had educationally with our kids. And we needed to have some roots that could really dive into those specific areas for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we stepped out of being an officer and ended up in Michigan, where I went to work for Spring Arbor University in student development and student leadership and retention.
Yep.
And while I was there, I had a student who graduated who ended up moving to Las Vegas and getting a job out here. And she started a nonprofit women's ministry. And so I would bring every spring break a group of student leaders to Las Vegas for a missions trip for the week.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I got introduced to Las Vegas. And Homer always came with me on those spring break trips.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just do throughout that week, we would serve with like 20 to 30 nonprofits in Vegas, doing homeless ministry, doing school kid ministry. I mean, just doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the organizations that we worked with every year did a ministry to women involved in the sex industry. And that is what kind of opened my eyes to this world and kind of poked at my heart and pulled me toward that. So one of those years, about the third year into those trips, the lady that we worked with each time said to me, "You know, Robin, you don't need to go to Las Vegas to work in this field." And I'm like, I live in a little tiny town in Spring Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is not a problem in my world. And she's like, "Oh, yes, it is. You just don't see it."
Yeah.
And she really challenged me to take it home and to look in my own community. So long story short, I'm a big chicken, and it took me about 3 years to put her words into practice.
Yeah.
But finally, I did, and through the church that we were attending there in Michigan, I started a ministry called Hearts for Jackson. And we would go out, me and a group of my small group friends, ladies, we would go out once a month and go to the strip clubs in our town and just love on the dancers and let them know that we see them and that they have value.
Yeah.
And we would take them gifts, and we would tell them that God loves them. And oftentimes on those visits, they would ask us to pray for them, and we would.
Yeah.
Or they would. It was crazy. Like, it was crazy the things that would happen just because we showed up.
Man.
And we showed up not condemning, not judging, just loving.
Yep.
And it was just a beautiful thing. So that was kind of my ministry back in Michigan in this field. Well, then fast forward again, my husband, they were doing some downsizing at the university, and we just felt very, very unstable where we were at. And so this job came across Homer's desk, and he looked at it and said, I'm going to apply for this. And so he did, and it ended up being for a major dis officer with Salvation Army.
Wow.
And it was in what we thought was in Phoenix, but ended up that it was in Las Vegas,
wow,
which was even better for us because we loved this city.
Yeah.
So in 2015, we moved to Vegas. And so Homer works for Salvation Army here, and he loves his job and is doing just an amazing job. And then I started working for Refuge for Women. So now I'm like, both of us have kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
And it's real cool. So, yeah. That's a long story to tell you how I got here, but that's it.
No, that's perfect, actually. I didn't know a lot of that information because we haven't really gotten a chance to sit down and talk about this kind of stuff. So has Refuge for Women then been, how long has it been open?
So we started in 2009 in Lexington, Kentucky, and our founder, he was involved with his wife in a very similar strip club ministry like I did in Michigan.
Okay.
And they just really felt like they're taking this good word and good message to the women, but if the women want to come out, what are they supposed to do?
Right.
There wasn't anything for them. So they really felt the Lord leading them to open a home. And so they started Refuge for Women, and they opened the first home in Kentucky in 2010. And then we were the second home to open, and we opened in Las Vegas in November of 2015. So this is our fifth year of being open in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And then we opened our transitional home just past summer, so July of 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. So in 2010 was the first home. 2015 was the second home in Vegas. And then 6 months later, the second home in Texas. And then the next year was Chicago, and then the next year was Ohio, and then this year, 2020, will be Southern California and another home in Texas.
That's amazing. So
the word
is getting out.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Well, and this topic of human trafficking and sex trafficking is just so important for us to talk about and raise awareness for. And like I was talking about before, I feel like we're still getting on the train, so to speak, to what is really happening. And a lot of times we like to put our blinders on and just pretend like nothing is, like you said, like you grew up in a tiny little town. That doesn't happen here in my town. Well, we got to take our blinders off and really look for what's happening in our own backyards.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because it is. It's happening everywhere. So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about what you actually provide the women that come into to Refuge.
So the answer to that question is everything.
Okay. Yeah.
When they come to us, often they come with the clothes on their back or maybe a little suitcase filled with a few items that they got in the shelter where they were staying before they came to us. Very rarely does somebody come to us with a lot of stuff,
yeah,
because that's not the way it works in this field.
Right.
So we think that like women who are involved in the sex industry have a lot of money because you might see them dressed really nice or drive really nice cars or whatever, but that is just so not reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way it works at all. And a woman who is being trafficked may have those nice things for show, but she also knows if she were to leave and take one single thing with her, that's a death sentence. So that just does not happen.
Wow.
They literally run with the clothes on their back when they run.
Mm-hmm.
We give them everything. Our program is 100% free to the women who come to it. We don't charge them a penny, but we provide everything they need while they're in our program.
Amazing.
So from daily needs like shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrush, like all those, you know, daily hygiene things,
mm-hmm,
to food, to clothing, to shelter, to utilities, to everything. While they're in our program, anything that we do with them is paid for. So when they do job training or trying to get them back to school or go get their GED or whatever, like we cover those costs so that there's no barrier to them to get back what they need. So that's how it works. And we are completely privately funded by individual people who have a heart for what we do, and they jump on board and become partners and financially support us. The local churches, we reach out to them a lot.
Yeah.
We're in a little bit different situation in Vegas because we do have a federal grant, which we're the only refuge location that has been able to receive a federal grant because we're faith-based. That's a pretty big obstacle in looking at a lot of grants, but we're moving in that direction. I think, honestly, the government has to get on board because there are not very many organizations that work in this field.
Yeah.
And the ones that do, almost all are faith-based.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, if they want to make a dent in human trafficking, they're going to have to support faith-based organizations. That's just my personal opinion. But so that's really how it works. So we run, our houses are all staffed 24/7 by paid employees.
Okay.
Because they have to be. We have to have specialized training.
Yeah, because you have licensed counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists.
Yeah, so we partner out for that. Like we don't have them on our staff, but all of our women see professional counselors who are trained in trauma therapy and recovery.
Yep.
But those are not, I don't know of any of the homes where that service is donated. Like we pay for that.
Okay.
And that, again, is provided to the residents for free. Like we don't charge them. So those are the things that we provide for them.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's such a big missing piece. I feel like a lot of people, they want to help, but they don't know how. And because there's so many things that are needed and providing. Well, and two, when you said it's hard for the women to leave, because like you said, there's a death sentence that could come along with some of their leaving. You also provide safety for these women.
Right. We just are very blessed that we are a national organization, so we have locations around the country. Mm-hmm. So our standard operating practice is when a applicant applies to Refuge for Women, that application goes to our national office and is screened initially there by one of our national staff members. And then if the person qualifies for the program, then the application is sent to a program director who has an open bed in her home.
Okay.
And it's not sent to the location where that person is applying from.
Oh, wow.
So if
somebody
from Chicago applies to Refuge for Women, we're going to place them in a home, but not our Chicago home.
Okay.
Because we get them out of their current environment, because that's number one for their safety. Number two, for the safety of the residents in that home.
Oh, yeah.
We got to think about everybody who's in the program, not just the one person who's applying.
Yep.
But what we have found is that in order for true healing to take place, we have to create a space that feels and is really focused on their healing. And there's such a need. So I'll just give you an example of that. So in the city of Las Vegas, there are only 12 beds that are available for trafficking survivors.
Hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like we're in Las Vegas. So if you think about that, like there's such a need in our country for programs that can help ladies or, you know, anybody who's been trafficked to get their lives back.
Right.
So that just lets you know how few beds are out there.
Right. The work that you guys are doing for these women who need to get back on their feet physically, mentally, well, especially spiritually, and then back into society, back into what we would consider to be a victorious life. And I'm sure that's how they feel. They probably feel when they graduate like victory.
Yeah. We love graduation. Mm-hmm. Graduation is a special day. We do graduation big in Las Vegas. So it's cap and gown, it's pomp and ceremony.
That's awesome.
It's a huge day. We invite all of our board members, our volunteers, the ladies who are graduating can invite anybody they want, any friends they've made or acquaintances, whatever. They can invite anybody they want. It is so fun. It is a huge celebration.
That's awesome. I did watch the latest one that you posted on Facebook. And let's just plug your Facebook for a minute. Refuge for Women, Las Vegas. And you can go there. You can watch videos of Robin. You can watch other podcasts that Robin has done and more information about what she does.
Yeah. So just to clarify, it's a group. So it is Refuge for Women Las Vegas, but it's open to anybody to join. So if you want to join it, just click on join the group and I'll accept you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we would love that. We're trying to get more and more people into it. So that would be awesome.
Yeah. And before we get into how we can get involved, I just want to pause for a minute and plug our own program as a sister partner with yours.
Yeah.
You know, we in the Salvation Army have also been involved in the fight against human trafficking for over 150 years in various forms.
Right.
And Robin, you know this because you were a part of our organization for many years, and mm-hmm. you probably worked with people within the sphere of influence who may have been affected by some form of human trafficking. We don't have to go very far
right.
to find it.
Yeah.
So our Stop It program, it helps survivors leave their situations and move forward, just like you're doing with Refuge for Women.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's important for us to mention that this fight is real, and we have armies who are stepping into the darkness and standing up for those who cannot stand for themselves. And I really think that we just need to support one another. Human trafficking goes beyond our Salvation Army borders and our Salvation Army walls. It is bigger
right.
than our organization. And the more we partner with one another, the stronger we will be. This is a great partnership for us to move forward. And I have no problem plugging your program as well, because the more we partner with one another
right.
and support one another financially, with prayer, with all of those things, the stronger we will be.
Yeah.
So I guess the big question for us, how can we get involved? How can we join the fight? You mentioned that people don't really know it's happening in their backyard. What kinds of signs can we look for? What are some practical things that we can put our radars up and go, that could be a potential trafficking situation?
So we'll just start with the obvious.
Okay.
If you have a strip club in your community, start there, because there's a lot of trafficking that happens in a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what anybody says, no strip club is just a strip club.
Yeah.
So start there. And I would just say, don't be afraid to step into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to go inside. Not a man. I'm not a man. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to women.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't be afraid to go in and rub shoulders
mm-hmm.
with the people who are in there and love on them and show up and be present and give them hope. That's what I would say. And that's a huge thing, right? And
yeah.
not everybody can do that.
Right.
So if you can't do it, find somebody who can and you support them. You be the back end of them going in.
You yeah.
know, help them with gifts, help them with prayer, encouragement, all of those things. So that's what I would say, like something to do locally.
Yeah.
And the other thing is ask questions. You know, like if your radar is up and you're looking at a situation and you're like, this just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid to ask the person that you're concerned about, are you safe? Do you
mm-hmm.
feel safe? Do you need help?
Mm.
Like half the time, if women don't get help because they don't think there's anybody there to help them.
Right.
So like be available, you know, just ask the questions. And then if they say, no, I'm good, you can always leave it by, well, here, call me if you need help. Like
right.
if you change your mind, I'm here, you know,
yeah.
something like that. Anything that you're concerned about too, you can always call the human trafficking hotline number that's ran by the Polaris Project. And
okay.
They can point you to local resources and get help that way as well. So those are just some of the things that you can do.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that you can do, like, you know, ministry at large, is you can become a financial partner, and you might not be able to physically do something, but you can support by giving monthly
mm-hmm.
and just know that that money goes directly to the program to support the women and pay for those services that I talked about. That's something that you can do. You can pray. This is
yeah.
a dark world
yeah.
and we enter into the darkness every day when
mm-hmm.
we step into the home and work with the women. So like praying for the staff, praying for the women, praying for safety, all of those things are just super ways to be involved
yeah.
without actually being boots on the ground.
Yeah. You guys are just doing such great things. And I love when you said boots on the ground. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're there. You're in the fight. So I just want to give our listeners just a little bit of hope that you may think it's too big for you to tackle or it's too big for you to wrap your brain around, but it's not. You can do something. And we need to get off the imaginary couch that we sit on and just do something about it. Sometimes you get in there and you just got to dig in your feet and know that God is going to do something with it. If you're honoring him with what you're doing and you're doing what he wants you to do, there's going to be fruit from that. And I see that. And more people hearing about it and more people getting involved and whatever that looks like for them, like we just need to start the fire.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so, I mean, even there's things you can do in your core, like what if your core sponsored a resident, you know, and like we as a core took an offering every month and came up with $100. That's what we do in an adopt a resident program like Compassion International.
Yeah.
And for $100 a month, you sponsor a resident and you pay for their care if you go through the program. So like, I mean, that would like totally change how we do things because we would have that commitment coming in every month. And like, we can do that. It's so simple, but it's so life changing.
It is.
Or everybody's home league does it, you know, like not the core, but maybe a group or maybe the core council says, you know what, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
The men's group, whoever. So if you put up our website on your podcast, make sure you do the RFW Las Vegas.
RFW Las Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. So yesterday we had this big launching in what our vision is for 2020 and beyond with women's ministries. And they're calling it reimagining. And really, when it all comes down, you can take away all of the rhetoric and all of the other little things, you know, what it comes down to is taking a look at what you're doing at your core, at your church, within the spectrum of women's ministries, but it doesn't have to stop there. And how can you reimagine what that looks like for your community, for, you know, the women at your church or at your core? And this right here fits into that whole reimagining. I want to just plug that for a minute. I just want people to stop for a minute and reimagine what your women's ministries could look like involving, you know, getting into the anti-human trafficking movement. This is good. This is all coming all at the same time. And oh, it's giving me goosebumps right now because there's so much we could do. And I feel like we just need to get out there and do more than just talk about it.
Right. Yeah. And it just takes taking a step, you know, and starting because it's like how you eat an elephant, right? Like you can't just like tackle the whole thing, but you can do what you can do.
Right.
So do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and don't wait for someone else to do it. If God's moving you, if the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, even right now as you're listening to this, get out there and do it. Take the first step.
Right.
Do you have any testimonials or any stories that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just think that we often think like there's no hope for women who have been trafficked and like there's the damage is too deep or whatever. And I say, let's not put God in that box,
yes,
right? Because we serve a mighty God who is able to bring hope and restoration.
Amen.
And one of the things that just happened this year that was just such a great reminder that we serve a God of healing and a God of hope is one of our gals was with us for about 11 months before she ended up going back home. And she has two teenage twin daughters that she hadn't had custody of for a while and hadn't been with for a while. She had contact with them, but they didn't live, they lived in and out with her.
Okay.
So, but she graduated from our program and she had stayed for a little bit after that just to make sure she was solid on her feet. And then she ended up going home and one of her teenage daughters sent me a text message and just said, I just want to thank you for giving me back my mom.
Aww.
And isn't that beautiful? Like that is what Jesus does, right? And that's where the women who, we say it all the time when they go through our program, you are here to get your life back.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happens. So we have a 70% success rate for women who graduate our program that they don't ever return to the sex industry.
Wow.
And if you work in this field, statistics tell us that women who are in the sex industry who do get the courage to leave will leave and return six times
wow.
before they stay out. Wow. The hold is so strong.
I know. I was going to say there's probably like brainwashing happening as well.
Oh, it's totally. Yeah. That. I was just going to say that. It's not a hold of, oh, I want to make money.
Yeah.
That's not it at
right.
all. That's TV. That's not reality.
Right.
It is the brainwashing that is done to the women who are involved. And it just takes, that hold is such a strong hold.
Yep.
And so the women who go through our program, 70% of them never return. And that's
wow.
just, that's the power of God right there.
Yeah.
We love that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This has been awesome. This has been so good talking to you and hearing all about your ministry there in Las Vegas and the bigger picture of Refuge for Women. And do you have anything else you want to say or add?
I think it's just, I love what you said about just get out there and do it, because that's it. Like, don't wait until you're not afraid or you will never do anything.
Yeah.
Look at what you can do, make a commitment, and get involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Robin, for joining us today. And it's good to reconnect with you. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
I just want to thank Robin so much for joining us today. She's given us a lot to think about and inspiration to get involved in our own cities and our corners of the world. For more information about Refuge for Women, you can go to our Central Women website, which is www.uscwomensministries.com. There you will also find links to the National Anti-Human Trafficking Hotline, where you can report human trafficking. But you'll also find links to how the Salvation Army is also leading the way in the fight against human trafficking with our own Stop It program. It's great to partner with other faith-based organizations. There is safety in numbers. The more we join together, the stronger we will be. So let's take some time today to pray. Pray for the victims of human trafficking. Pray for those on the front lines who are providing help and those standing in the gap being Jesus in our dark world. And also pray that God will move our own hearts and our feet to get involved in the fight. Thanks for listening today. I hope this podcast has left you prepared and equipped for tomorrow. And it's my prayer that you have found inspiration to seek out how to be more like Jesus. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.